Okie doke, welcome back to Chassidut and Psychology, Chabura number 2. So we're calling this the Tshuva Trap. The Tshuva Trap, the concept is based on a concept in psychology known as the Happiness Trap. It's really fundamentally around a school of thought or a program of psychology known as Acceptance Commitment Therapy, ACT.
Oh man, I've had bad memories. Bad memories.
Russ Harris is one of the founders of it with it, and some of these ideas, you know, they really come around in and touched upon a lot of different things in DBT and some things in CBT, and it works around. But the comics are really great in terms of their illustration of the principle, which I wanted to talk about. So, for example, if we look at the happiness trap on the front page of your booklet. So a person with all these different feelings, sad, angry, unlovable, hurt, shame, right, starts, and you try to escape them by going to your happy place. But unfortunately, the happy place is built from other temporary things which sometimes are toxic. Right? You see this guy saying, all is well. He's got some, whether it's some drugs over there. You see the syringe, the hamburger. It's not a ketchup bottle, but it's alcohol. He's like, everything's great. But unfortunately, it's not enough to keep all of these feelings at bay forever. So now your happy place brings even more of those feelings. And it sort of gets you caught in this trap that you keep going around saying, you know, with these feelings of feeling sad, angry, unlovable, hurt, shameful. And then you're like, I'll try to get away from it. Right? You see, it's got la, 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 la. But what happens is that it doesn't work forever. And invariably, they just come back at it again.
Quick question.
Yeah.
I'm doing this for a public speaking thing.
Right.
Do you mind if I use you as a source?
Sure.
So you don't feel uncomfortable? Good.
No problem. You should put the phone on the other side so it doesn't hear the laptop as much.
Sounds good.
Oh, I'm recording.
Sounds good. Okay. So then, we wanted to zoom in more, go to the back page of the packet. The understanding is that what's the source of all of this? The source of all of this is like a fundamental piece that, you know, starting from over here, you see, life can be tough and challenging, and all humans hurt sometimes. Much like that famous REM song, Everybody Hurts, that the human mind evolved a long time ago when life was much more dangerous. The Rabbanu Shalom gave us the ability to search for danger to stay safe, right? So we often talk about five senses, but the truth is that we also have two or three more senses which we don't always talk about. One of those senses is a danger sense, much like the famous Spidey sense that Peter Parker has, the Peter Tingle, also known as, that our brains are constantly searching for danger in the background, right? Just like any process that we have, like we're running on a computer. On one hand, you think that your computer is just typing in docs, but also at the same time, it's communicating with other computers, which are sending it the news, sending it all types of updates. Things are going on in the background. In the background, the computer is running different processes the same way that your brain is running different processes. So you think right now that you're just listening to Shir, your mind is also sweeping for danger. It's sweeping for danger all the time. And your mind is like an alarm that keeps you safe. See, moving on to that saber-toothed tiger and the guy wearing the spotted kapata over there. Your brain is searching for danger so that if a wild animal came, a bear, a lion, or something come to pounce on you, you'll be able to get away because you hear it moving. So your brain is now looking for things that can cause danger. This is, the Rabbanu Shalom put it within us, that we have this sense that it's going to keep us safe. Well, we learn what's safe and what's not safe. Well, that's what we've developed over our 20-some-odd years of experiences. This is safe. This is not safe. This is good. If things are good or safe. Things are not good. They're not safe. But sometimes in our present day, its warnings are not always helpful, right? So that oftentimes the brain will misinterpret things and think that this means that danger is coming. A person who is fighting with anxiety, and you know, to a certain degree, we all deal with anxiety because anxiety is a natural part of us, right? It's a natural, normal part of us to be anxious, and because that's the response of, hey, wait a second, danger. There's danger, so we'd better start reallocating our system resources in order to deal with the danger which is coming. And what happens is the danger, the threat which is coming, is not something that we can necessarily run away from or fight. You can't fight a math test. You can't run away from a math test. You know, you can't run away from a job interview. You can't beat up the interview. Yeah, you could beat up the interview, but you won't get the job. It's going to be counterproductive. As your brain's flashing danger, 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 and you're like, no, come on, it's not danger, but you don't know what to do. It's not defective. You see the little brain with the trophy over there, because it's just doing the job that the Ribbono Shel Olam made it do, right? And also another piece is a cruel paradox of life, that also with caring comes pain. The more you care, sometimes the more you hurt. And then sometimes often the things we do to avoid pain make life worse in the long term. We don't try because we're afraid to fail. We're afraid to fail so that, you know, it's better not to care in the first place. But at the same time, then we kick ourselves for not having tried because we're afraid to fail. There's a story one of my friends, my friends and colleagues, who's a therapist, would tell, that the Divrei Chaim of Sanz had had one leg that was shorter and infected than his other leg. I think it was his left leg was like shorter and it was infected and it was scabbed, and you know, and then his other leg was healthy. And what would happen when he would daven, he would be one of those emphatic, ecstatic daveners, and he would start hopping up and down, you know, on his weaker leg. And one time, so he was by, I believe it was the Sar Shalom of Bills, the first Bills of Rebbe, and he was jumping up and down on this, you know, on this diseased foot. And the Rebbetzin saw him doing this, and she said to him, "Can't you tell him to jump on the other foot?" And the Rebbe said to his wife, he doesn't know which foot he's jumping on right now. Could you imagine? So my friend, who's a therapist, said about this story, could you imagine a person who would forget about the things that hold them back, forget about their limbs that are diseased? Could you imagine a person who could act in a way that they could forget about their limitations? Right? Isn't that a fantastic concept? Imagine what it would be if you would forget about your limitations. If you could forget for a moment about your limitations. And what are the limitations? That's anxiety. That's the mind that's telling you, you can't do it. Why bother? And unfortunately, though, the harder we try to push away all of the thoughts or avoid all of the thoughts, eventually, like our circle on the first page, they keep coming back. Those thoughts just keep getting, you can't get away from them. Eventually, whatever it is that you do to avoid that obstacle, to avoid that feeling bad, it comes back. Whatever your thing is, it always is going to come back. And the harder you fight it, the harder it comes back. Part of this entire system of ACT is learning to be able, instead of fighting some of these feelings, the same way, like we said, there's nothing wrong with your brain that it's searching for danger. That's what's supposed to be doing. Your mind is supposed to be searching for danger. But realizing that it's raising an alarm, and it's only one piece of what your brain does, it puts it back in context. It's not as scary when you say, oh, you know what's happening now? Your brain is just picking up on a danger signal. And you say, okay, thank you, brain. That's what you're supposed to be doing. I don't need to answer this right now. The same way, like when your phone starts to ring, you're in the middle of a different conversation. That's okay. It can ring, right? When we notice the emotions that don't feel good and give them space, we don't spend so much energy trying to get rid of them. The more energy you expend trying to get rid of the feelings or thoughts, the more they're going to come back. The more you just work on just welcoming and saying, hey, hi, nice to see you, and just say hello, and then just let them go, the less attached we'll be to them. And we'll deal with, there's a more Torah that we have about this idea of diffusing from ideas, of getting unhooked from these ideas. But what I wanted to focus on for a moment then is, you know, it's a tshuva time of year. And interestingly enough, we'll come to visit a little bit with Rabbi Nachman of Breslov, someone who I don't think anyone needs such an introduction to. We've all at least heard a little bit of Rabbi Nachman, at least a snippet, or seen some dancing Hasidim once, maybe sung a song or two of Rabbi Nachman's. There's an entire world of depth in Rabbi Nachman. Worlds upon worlds of each one of his Torahs that a person can live in and live with. So what happens is that the sixth Torah of Likutei Moran, Rabbi Nachman talks about doing tshuva. And what's interesting is you think that tshuva, to a certain extent, is an antidote, right? To make the feeling of guilt or shame to go away. That's generally the parochial thoughts about tshuva, which hopefully as we move towards, we'll expand out into different directions of tshuva. We say, okay, tshuva, so I'm supposed to do tshuva to run away from those feelings. Rav Kook in the Orot HaTshuva talks about how that sometimes there's a feeling that a person has of being pursued and not knowing what exactly is pursuing him. There's no exactly name, there's one specific thing that he's thinking that he did something wrong. It's just this feeling of being pursued, but there's nobody there. And the tshuva, to a certain extent, is a refuge. But watch what happens. Rabbi Nachman's going to make it worse, and then he's going to make it better. So come with me for a second. Tzarech le'achos tamid b'midat ha'tshuva. A person has to hold on to tshuva, the midah of tshuva. Ki mi yomar zachiti libi taharti mechatati. Who can say that I've cleaned it all out? I've purified myself from the sin. Ki b'shasha adam omer chatati aviti pashati afilu zeh iyavshar lomar bevar levav bli pniyam. And when a person says that, says vidoy, a person repents, he can't say this without some type of ulterior motive. So it seems like you need to do tshuva on your tshuva. Hainu chatati aviti pashati shenemar ki alav neemar b'sfatav kibduni. That when you said, I sinned, chatati aviti pashati, I sinned against you, rebelled, I was wanton, everyone knows the word wanton. You're only honoring Hashem with your words, with your lips. Ki aydei tshuva zocha lechvod Hashem v'libo rachak mimeni. Because you think that, okay, I'm making things better, I'm coming close for honor of Hashem, but your heart is really far away. So unfortunately, it seems like Rabbi Nachman has now made this worse. So now you're telling me, okay, this is why I called the tshuva trap. They tell me, oh, sad, unlovable, hurt, shame. Maybe tshuva can fix it. They said, but now you have to do tshuva about doing tshuva. You have to do tshuva about doing tshuva. Oh my God. Can't I ever get any of this right? So now I feel back into this idea where, see, we have this the guy with the bubbles behind him. Oh no, it's coming after me. Even my tshuva isn't good enough. What am I supposed to do? V'afilu im yode adam ba'atzmo she'asat tshuva shlema, af al pichin tzarech la'asot tshuva al tshuva rishona. And even if a person has done total tshuva, he still needs to do tshuva about his tshuva. Ki mitchila k'she'asat tshuva aseh lefi hasagato. V'achar kach bevadai k'she'oset tshuva bevadai hu makir mesig yoter et Hashem yitbarach. He's saying, no, there's something else over here. That then all of a sudden, you realize the more about Hashem. You recognize God's greatness in a different way. Bevadai hasagat harishona hu bechinat gashmiyut. V'nimtzah shetzarech la'asot tshuva al hasagat harishona shehit gashem et romamut elukuto. That what happened is that you've gone and you've made godliness a little bit more fleshig, as they would say in Yiddish. You've made God a little bit more physical. V'zeh b'chinat olam haba, shia kulo shabbat, hanu kulo tshuva. And this is this is demonstrative. This is an aspect. This is a glimpse of the world to come, which is entirely Shabbos, because Shabbos is the word v'shavta. You will return to Hashem. Ki kar olam haba hu hasagat elokuto, because all of olam haba is really grasping, understanding, meeting Kadosh Baruch Hu, knowing God. V'yidu oti miktanim v'yad gedolim nimsa bechol et shiyasigu hasaga yetera azay yasu tshuva al hasaga rishona. So then any time I didn't know, and I've grown in my understanding. So now watch, this is fantastic. All this was great. What you're going to see now is fantastic. So what happens is that originally, so you did tshuva, you think, okay, I did tshuva. I said, oh no, now I have to do tshuva, my tshuva? That's horrible. Rabbi Nachman says, no, it's not that you're missing something. Originally I was thinking about doing this in terms of OCD, right? Obsessive compulsive disorder, where a person keeps feeling the need to do tshuva that they didn't do it right. I thought this fits in a little bit better. When a person wants to go on the ways of tshuva, they have to be an expert in halakha. It sounds like Jewish law, right? Tzarech lehiot shnei bikiut, haynu baki baratzo ubaki b'shov. A person has to be an expert in running and an expert in returning. K'mo shekatuv zaka man da'ail v'nafak. Happy, fortunate is the one who goes, comes and leaves. And this is what it means in Tehillim, where it says, "Im esak shamayim shamata." If I go to heaven, there you are. Bechinat ayil. Bechinat baki baratzo. This is that a person is, how it's called, that a person is an expert in running. V'atzia sh'ol hinach. That if I make my bed in hell, here you are. Bechinat v'nafik, bechinat baki b'shov. Then I am an expert in returning. There's so much over here, and in order to really get all the point, I'm enlisting the help of Rav Shagar Shimon Gershon Rosenberg. Was a Rosh Hashiva in Eretz Yisrael, very special institutions. He partnered with Rav Adin Steinsaltz and Menachem Fruman in different occasions. And he has some beautiful shiurim on Pirkei on Rabbi Nachman and on the Tanya and lots of other things. So here Shagar explains a little bit more of Rabbi Nachman's intent. So he says, Shalafi, second paragraph, Rabbi Nachman, Eina medubar b'chazara oto tshuva pa'amayim. The idea is not to come and do the same thing again, but b'shal atzbanut ha'adam chose emunato b'cheinut ha'tshuva shelo. It's not that you felt like there was anything lacking from your tshuva, that your tshuva wasn't sincere, that you're your tshuva wasn't proper. Ela b'shtei tshuvot shonot zumizu. These are two different worlds. Tshuva rishona, tshuvat olam hazeh, tshuvat tata, muzehe im sfirat hamalchut. The first tshuva is the lower tshuva. Okay, did something wrong, I'm going to fix it. I'm driven, I have to fix this. There's something I need to fix. But the second is tshuvat olam haba. Tshuva ilah, the higher tshuva. Tshuva rishona matzuya b'mizgeret ha'avoda datita regila. It's just within our normal religious lives. V'lashniya me'areret aleha. The second one is more of a shake-up. He megalemet amida nochach elokut mitoch asiyat ha'olam ha'gashmi bo ira ha'chataim. So there, it's already a totally different universe where a person's not talking about, okay, you know, a person turned on a light accidentally on Shabbos and says, okay, you got to be more careful not to turn on the light, put a cover on it, make sure not to, you know, a person got upset, you know, and said something nasty to his friend, and then he starts to analyze himself, okay, you know, I realize I have to work on my temper, I have to make sure, you know, to see the great points that my friend has, you know, that work through all of that. The second element of tshuva means really to sort of like rise out of the world and stand before for a Kadosh Baruch Hu, stand before for the master of the world. Al pi tfisato shel Rabbi Nachman al adam lasot bo zmanit et shtei tshuvot mashmaot hadavar hi todaat kfula kishemitzad echad ani oseh tshuva ovo bezman ani yodea shetshuvati chaseret ha'erech lachen ani oseh tshuva shniya al tshuva rishona zoi gisha dialectic la'avodat ha'tshuva. So on one hand, you're saying, so there's something dialectical, some two parts of the tshuva. On one hand, there's the idea of just, you know, fixing the religious piece, and then there's the other piece of just trying to meet God here, right? It's not about the details. It's about meeting a Kadosh Baruch Hu right over here, and that's why it's called, Rabbi Nachman calls it the tshuva of Olam Hazeh. The tshuva of Olam Hazeh. That's one thing, but there's another piece to it. Yeah, Weinberger spoke about this. I remember him speaking about it a lot, but if you listen to the Behind the Bima podcast from Boca, where he was talking about what El is about, it's Et Panecha Hashem Avakesh. Kadosh Baruch Hu, I want to meet you, right? The whole of El, everything else is going to fall into place, right? Once I meet Et Shava Nafshi. The idea of trying to find the Kadosh Baruch Hu, that's really the piece that I'm looking for. It's more than just a question of, you know, of trying to make sure that I fix what went wrong. But there's more to it. It's more than he says tikkun datit yom yomit, the normal religious things that we do, which is dealing with what's here, the yesh. But novad me'aratzon ha'anoshi liot v'seder, which is coming just like, I said, I'm okay. Lachen hi nemucha yachasit, because it's just in this world. It's just about okay. Part of this piece is okay. I just want to be okay. Nasuli tora kes la rega belokim, be'ein sofiut she'ein bo gvulot u'megvulot kol shehem. The idea, though, the second tshuva is okay. I've returned. I'm trying to make things better. I'm trying to, you know, but the second point is like to sort of meet HaKadosh Baruch Hu. To meet God out of the, you know, out of just the everyday, I broke the rules, I have to fix the rules. There's an idea of sort of leaping out. And this leaping out, this is like really what we're looking for, is that v'ketzad yechol chavaya zola la'alot be'kana echad im musag achet b'muvano mesorati. Hare chavaya zu hofechet et dufusei ha'machshava shal olam adati et musagi ha'cheshbon ha'nefesh l'mashu karitani l'midi. Ha'ksharim ha'datim shalanu hem chevratim. Olam musagim dati ha'chati shalanu mitzumtzam. Umuvan rak m'gvulat olam hazeh. Ava ma'zeh kesheh le'insof. So you said, what's the clue? So what happened? We're caught in the realm of be a good boy, right? Do what we all did. This is what we do. So you miss davening. Okay, so come late for that. We are wearing tefillin, right? Okay, so what the halacha says, you should put on tefillin. But then, through all these things, to try to connect them back to the master of the world, right? To leap out toward infinitude, to infinity, and beyond, right? To be able to leap off, it's the tshuva tata is just okay. I want to be a good boy, which is good. I mean, we're not against it, but there's another piece, right? Of seeing that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is bigger and is more, right? God being bigger and more and greater than everything. Well, that's something else. Rabbi Nachman eno mitnaged l'tshuva rishona. He's not opposed to it. Shekhen hu mevin ze novat me etzem chayim ba'olam mugbal me'tivo. We have to, you know, do this because this is the world that we live in. This is the you know, the misgaret, the misgaret, you know, the structure, the structure of life as we know it. But there's more. But it's bigger. Ulam hu ta'on she etzem ha'musagim halu b'hem anu chayim musagei achet musagei haschar v'onish hem b'muvan mesuyam al hagshama al tfisat elokim hem chaseri ruchniyot b'hashva'ah le'en sofiyut. Says that this means there's something so much more and bigger. Yes, of course, we have to do tshuva. But there's a connecting to something bigger that we're missing, right? And as a result, that if we're just thinking that the tshuva is really bad, and Rav Kook is Malei V'Gadish, Rav Kook is all about this concept of tshuva, not just being very parochial, you know, you accidentally mixed wool and linen together, right? Oops, I mixed wool and linen together. Okay, there's another piece to it. There's a bigger piece to it also. That there's a Kadosh Baruch Hu that we're looking for also. And Rabbi Nachman wants us to go above it. So it's not to say that, oh, you know, this tshuva didn't do it because there's something wrong with you, and these feelings of inadequacy are just going to come back because you need to do tshuva after doing tshuva. Do the tshuva after doing tshuva because your tshuva is inadequate because you're inadequate. That's the tshuva trap.
Do you have to say tshuva four times to tshuva and it not being adequate?
What's
the trap again?
The trap is thinking that I'm stuck in this cycle. That when Rabbi Nachman said, "Oh, you have to do tshuva for doing tshuva,"
because you have an ulterior motive. To say I apologize.
Wow. To apologize to, exactly, but really to meet the master of the world in his greatness, right? It's bigger. It's more. Right? It's not just to because this is tshuva season. It's not just this is tshuva season.
How do we do that?
So there's a couple of ideas that we will admit Hashem get to in a second. That's why he calls it Tshuva V'Olam Haba, because it's not just okay, I want to be free of this. Now, free of this, there's something to that also. Remember, there are multiple levels to Tshuva, and we'll pause for a moment. Something that Rav Shagar alluded to is that he said that it's the idea of Malchut and Bina. Malchut and Bina, of course, are, you know, if we know the 10 Sefirot, so Malchut is the lowest level where we live in. We live in the world of Malchut. It's the interaction. It's the last Hey of Hashem's name. It means our interaction with the physical world.
Malchut being kings or angels?
Malchut being Malchut. Malchut is an is it refers to like that you have a king. Is a
fact that there needs to be social structure.
I would say like this is a reflection of the notion of kingdom, of what real kingdom is. It's a nefesh hachayim type of idea. It's a reflection of something greater. But here in the lowest point of the world, right, in the lowest point of spiritual reality, that's referred to by the Kabbalists as Malchut, right, as being kingdom, right, as that this is, but this is the lowest point. The highest point is called Bina, right? So in the Mekubalim, they see God's name as Yud He Vav He, and the first He reflects the Sphira of Bina, and the last He reflects the Sphira of Malchut, right? It, because if you count up, so to speak, the different we talk about God's giving life to the world in a certain way. The name Yud Kei Vav Kei means being. Yeah? Havaya means to be. Right? And because Havaya means to be, then it's a description of how God is also animating the world. And well, God's essence is complete unity. The way that we look at it, you know, there we have different descriptions of it. Like the Tanakh always talks about, you know, God, you know, different mashalim, different allegories for God being this, God being that. So it starts with Yud, which is the first sphera, goes to He, which is the second sphera. Then we skip because Vav is six. Then we have the last one, which is He, is Malchut. What does this mean? And I'll address you in a second, Natan. The last He is Malchut. Means Tshuva means Tashuv He. Put the last He back where it was. Repair this physical world. Repair our life. But the second He is Bina. It means understanding. It means that when if I can return to God and, you know, God and start to develop more of an understanding, that He also means that understanding. That's it's a little heavy, but that's where it is. So, Natan, you wanted to ask something?
Oh, yeah. When you said the highest level
is
Bina, did you mean like for like us as terms of like how high we can ascend?
Yeah. No, I mean it's the higher level of Tshuva.
Oh.
The higher level of Tshuva, Ilah, is Bina. Right? Because that means understanding. That Rav Nachman is, when he says things that they seem deceptively simple, but he's intimating to different concepts. So part of the understanding, the greatest understanding of the world, is as he brings it up in the Torah in the lesson, but of all the umale ha'aretz diat Hashem kiyam kemayim hayam echasim, but like Yeshayahu says that the one of the visions of Mashiach is where we'll all know God, right? So that's what Yeshayahu says, that the world will be filled with the knowledge of God. So the return to what to is tshuva is then also meeting a Kadosh Baruch Hu.
Wait, if we know God, isn't that not
Bina? No, I'm not using the English word for no, meaning encounter, mean to understand, mean to but Bina is different, but English is clunky. Yes.
I understand it as like a two-step process of removing from sin and then connecting to Hashem.
Or both together. But the idea of not just, he said, so Rav Nachman is saying, don't just get caught up in the getting away from sin. It's just that the avera is blocking your view. So if it's blocking your view, then you can really connect in such a way. Then you can connect better because you're getting a glimpse of it, and they say, "Wow, there's so much more to go. There's so much more to meet God through all of this." Because if it's just about fixing, by the way, so if it's, again, if it's just about trying to fix the bad thoughts, the bad feelings, the bad everything, so then it could be that it'll never be enough, and get caught again in the tshuva trap. But when the idea, the goal is to meet a Kadosh Baruch Hu with all of this, and becomes so much more, you know, so much deeper. Yes?
What's your definition of tshuva?
That's a great question. I would say return. Probably the best English word that I have. Return. Because repentance means come back to penance. I don't want to go to penance. I want to come back to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I don't want to be, I want to meet the master of the world. The Avera is standing in my way. The Avera is getting in the way. The distance, right, is getting in my way from meeting the master of the world. So we need to do tshuva on the tshuva, he says, is because it's all part of like getting into something deeper and bigger. There's just so much in the Rav Shagar. I didn't want to like read all of it to you, but it's just so much. It's worthwhile, and maybe at a different time, or we don't want to sit and read it together at a different time. But there's just so much in here. He says, and that's how a person even can think about coming on Rosh Hashanah. Well, it's got to be the highest point of tshuva. It's got to be tshuva ilah. It's got to be this elevated tshuva, because it's about meeting the King, and it's not just okay. Well, I want to be a good boy now, because we're working in a world of zichronos. We're walking into a world where the Shemona Esrei is talking. Like you read the words of the words that Moshe Wolfson says, that all of the same way that Ashkenazim dip the prusat lechem, the motzi, you dip the motzi into honey. All of the words of Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, the Shemona Esrei, is dipped in honey. All the words of the Amidah are dipped in honey. They're all unbelievably sweet. That's why it says korban ilachmi is the korban is Hashem's bread. Nowadays the tefillah kiviyachol is Hashem's bread. It's dipped in honey. It's all dipped in honey. So we're sitting there, and we're talking about a hopeful world, a world that that's possible for everything to recognize godliness. And then we have a section of the Musaf Shemona Esrei. It's called Zichronot. That's a fantastic thought. It is, oh, Zichronot, oh, you have to say Zichronot. Oh, so you have to read these Pesukim. That there's something deeper, like unbelievable. He says, Zainyan Zichronot Shanu Omrim Rosh Hashanah Ma'o Zikaron. What is this memory? Who eno machshava? It's not a thought. Hazikaron perush hitnasut b'mifgash bilti emsa'i. It's really the attempt to go and meet without any intermediary. Anin is karka et b'ben yakir li Ephraim. And he tofes et kimo. Duberben yisayin litfos mamashut shal oto rega shachalaf. It's an attempt to try to grasp a moment that no longer is here. Right, a moment that had passed. Liot matzoi b'hitrachashut nochachat lenasot lafach avar lahove, in an attempt to transform the past into the present. That's not a possible be'olam hazeh. That's not an olam hazeh type of thing. We sit there and we read the words of zichronot. We're lifted up into something very, very different. That's a different world. It's entirely a different world. So what he's saying is this tshuva ilah, this higher tshuva, lifting me up into something bigger, into something more. You don't have to do tshuva on the tshuva because you messed it up the first time. Say you were no good, you're still no good. No, the tshuva of the tshuva is that I did tshuva, and then the doors are open that I can leap out even more, to something bigger, not just because it's the tshuva season. Not just want to be a good boy because I was a bad boy, so to speak. I want to meet the master of the world. And then fantastically he says this, and this is so powerful, right? Because if we say so, then the next sentence which I quoted from Rabbi Nachman is, and therefore a person who wants to do tshuva has to be an expert in halakha. Must be an expert in halakha. You need to know the whole Mishnah Berurah by heart. Nobody could ever be maybe he knew that. How many people know Mishnah Berurah by heart? So nobody ever did tshuva? No. First, of course, you need to know halakha. You need to know what to do. person needs to be a baki in halacha means you have to know how to run towards a Kaddish Baruch Hu, how to have a good day, and you also have to know how to have a bad day. Right? When you're having a rough day, to know that God's there here with you too. To sense that, and this also ties back into the ACT piece. Because even the bad feelings, right? Without saying, these bad feelings, they're intruders. They're intrusions. They're messing with me. I've got to push them out. I can be able to push them out. You're just going to waste all your energy fighting with them. Recognize them. They're part of you. And we're moving on. Right? And we move on. Recognize, hey, how you doing? I had a student who sent me a meme. We're doing a mindfulness class in Brooklyn. They sent me a meme afterwards that it was called Mindful Mondays because everyone loves alliteration. So before Mindful Mondays, there's a picture of a guy in a ski mask with a flashlight and a person cowering like this, right? And it says before Mindful Mondays. And then what's it called? Then the picture was with the person, hugging the person in the ski mask, the sign on his chest like anxiety after Mindful Mondays, right? The idea being is that the feelings, you're a bucky b'shov, right? An expert in returning, an expert in walking away. There's an expertise in coming, where everything's going right. I'm feeling very spiritual today. I'm feeling, like I'm doing everything right today. And so God is definitely with me. And I'm feeling like nothing's going right. Right? Nothing's going right. It started from getting up late to forgetting to pack lunch. One of my experiences, getting late to shul and coming late to YU, but sitting in traffic for 2 hours, and I'm supposed to smile at everybody and the belief that God is there on that day also, right? That is, that's it called. That instead of fighting the day, say, okay, you know what? This is the day. This is the day. You become an expert in shov, an expert in the minor key, an expert in falling. Running. We have more of a sense of that's a spiritual moment. Failing, not so much. And we say, I see God when I'm having this failure also and trying to turn it around. If I waste all my energy being upset with the fact that things aren't going right, I have no energy left to try to make life any different. If I spend all my time fighting with reality, what energy do I have to try to make it better? If I spend all my time fighting tshuva tato, fighting the lower battle, I don't have any energy for the upper battle, any energy to flow, to fly, to leap. So in the psychology part, if I fight the anxiety, if I try to fight it off, if I try to push it away, I use all my energy doing that and I don't get going anywhere. The next step in his circle is then to move towards my goal. Stop fighting with yourself and start directing your energy towards things that you do want. Stop trying to, as it were, stop trying to be happy or being upset when you're not, and start using that energy towards what you want to do, things that really will make you happy. There's an interesting another book called The Mindful Way Through Depression. Oftentimes, when we have we all have minor keys, we have blah days, and what happens is that the depression oftentimes is debilitating, and we feel bad, and we feel like we can't do anything to fight it, and I should be feeling better, and then once I start saying I should be feeling better, we're immediately losing. We're losing to it because I should be feeling better. No, it's okay. We can feel down. That's fine. It's okay to feel down, but when we say it's, you shouldn't feel down, you should not feel down. Well, guess what? Now I feel ashamed that I feel like this, and I try to fight against it, so it's not going to work. Acknowledge it, and then and move on. You can't fight with the feeling, and what's more, though, every time you keep checking to find out if you're feeling it, of course you're going to feel it because you're looking for it. Person becomes an expert, as Rabbi Nachman says, in running and in failing, running and returning. That is how we do this, the second type of tshuva, the higher type of tshuva. Of course, we have to fix up the details, but then this higher point to meet a Kadosh Baruch Hu everywhere. That's how we avoid the tshuva trap. The tshuva trap makes you say, "Oh, I have to do tshuva for the tshuva because the last tshuva you didn't do it, mean it well enough, you weren't sincere enough." No, that's not what it means. It means that that tshuva was the beginning. The next part is even higher towards the goal. May we merit to avoid the tshuva trap and to make it to our goal. In the words of Yishai Ribo, Lashuv, Habayta.